Today FM's Last Word on Business with Capital Flow. Purchasing, refinancing or refurbishing an investment property? Visit capitalflow.ie.
Ian Guy, there's loads of business news to get through. Start with Penneys or Primark, please, and how COVID-19 has hit its sales and profits.
Yeah, figures put out by Penneys owner today showing a bad 6 months until the end of February. Their turnover across Penneys and Primark across Britain, Ireland, Europe and the US down by just over 40% to £2.3 billion. That's around €2.5 billion. Their profits down by 93%. And remember, for most of that 6 months, Europe, Britain and Ireland would have been a fair amount of lockdown. Their profits down 90%, as I said, to just over £40 million. I think what's more interesting is some of the details they've been given on how England and Wales, since the reopening of non-essential retail last week, has performed. And they say that the sales in the space of just 1 week broke records. Half of the stores in the UK, in Wales and England, saw record sales since last Monday. And they're pointing out that not only were people buying more, so the amount of items per customer was up, but footfall was back to beating pre-pandemic limits. So it wasn't just a hardy annuals who are always going to come out and buy stuff and buying more. It was just a general increase in people buying. And they were pointing out as well that demand for fashion items, because people can go out. So obviously non-essential retail have had, what would people have been buying anyway? Would it be people buying stuff to sit around the house in? No, it's people buying fashion items. So they've pointed some really positive retail trends there. While it was a difficult period up until last week, what they're saying is it gives them comfort that when non-essential retail opens across the rest of Europe and in Ireland, that things will pick up fairly quickly.
How does that then fit with the survey by PwC, which says shopping habits are likely to change permanently as a result of the pandemic?
Yeah, I suppose it's interesting. I suppose you're looking at a generational shift here as well, is that there are going to be a lot of people who will want to buy in store, but it will depend on what they will be buying. And what's coming out of this PwC survey, which is a global survey of consumer trends, is that for items such as electronics, DIY, sports and fitness, beauty products, people are happy to shop online. And lots of people, particularly younger people, are happy to shop on their mobile phones. So you're going to see a breakaway for some things that people just find it much easier, possibly much cheaper to buy online. But when it comes to grocery, we're still going to have to go in store, because while online delivery has, I think most of the figures by the supermarket show that it has doubled in the space in the past year, people are probably more happy going to the store to buy their groceries every week. But when it comes to convenience of things that are possibly one-off buys, people are more happy to do it online. And people, perhaps it's because people just have their phones beside them, people are just more likely to make a purchase as well. And there is a generational shift in there as well among certain age groups as well. So that survey, again, you will see this come out in the next while. People, because they're stuck at home, will buy what they need, but yet they will have to go out to the high street to buy what they actually really have to get, which is groceries and other things that are just not as convenient to shop for online.
What about the implications of that for the owners of the retail centres, the landlords and shopping centres, for example?
Yeah, and this is probably a more interesting story for retailers out there as to whether landlords are accepting deferred payments and as to whether landlords are extending forbearance. So Hammerson is a big British property company, and it owns in Ireland, it owns the Dundrum Town Centre, ILAC and a number of other properties. And it also has big retail sites across the UK and Europe. And they point out that in the first quarter of this year, January, February and March, their overall levels of rent collection were quite poor. So in Ireland, 34% of their tenants paid their rent. And they point out that in Ireland, in Dundrum in particular, most of the stores were closed, but there was an element of, again, you have essential retail open, being supermarkets, but also food and beverages treated, and therefore they collected just 34% of their retail of their rents. In France, which also had closure of non-essential retail, just 21% of their tenants paid their rent. Now, they are pointing out again that once footfall gets back to somewhere near normal, in the UK last week when some of their premises opened up, 80% of their of what they would normally expect of their footfall was occurring. So again, not as cautious as people would have thought. Just, I know it's only 1 week's data in the UK, but they are, but retail confident that once things do open up, people will get back out there. And if they are, for landlords, they have been extending forbearance measures, but they do believe that they will start to get back to normal rent collection payments and the deferred rent payments as well once stores open up.
Now, Willie Walsh, of course, has a new job as the head of the global airline industry body, IATA, which looks after about 290 airlines. But he's giving out about something today. About what?
He is giving out about the makers of PCR tests, saying that you are clearly seeing evidence of profiteering by people who have jumped on the testing bandwagon. He says that the cost of PCR tests, which are mandatory now if you want to engage in travel, both before you go away and on landing, he says that the cost of testing should be lower, and that he believes that there's a lot of firms out there who have seen that the idea that, look, you're going to have a PCR test, or these governments want you to have a PCR test, and he believes that they're keeping prices far too high, and that's going to make
Hang on a second. An airline boss saying this. An airline boss that if you try and book a seat with a couple of days to go, the price goes through the roof. They charge you laws of supply and demand and all the rest of it. He's giving out about the laws of supply and demand.
I know. He is saying that the cost of a test, which is about £100 in the UK and possibly about a bit more than that, depending on how on where you book it, that is prohibitive. Now, I'd imagine if you're booking a British Airways first class Club World seat, I would imagine the price of a PCR test is only a fraction of that. But I suppose the point he is making is that he represents now more than 100 airlines around the world. And particularly for budget airlines, £100 might be higher than the price of a seat. I think, Matt, it's not the cost of a PCR test that is. It is the very nature of the fact that people may have to have a PCR test into the future. Airlines are talking about the fact that antigen tests are much cheaper, but also the fact that you will have people who are fully vaccinated, and should they be taking tests prior to departure and possibly on landing. I would imagine, Matt, for the airlines, that if they want to see any type of resumption of travel, regardless of the cost of PCR testing, it is the very fact that testing remains in place that may put off people. And I think the airlines, I will guarantee you this, Matt, you'll see a massive lobbying push to say that once people are vaccinated, they should not be have to undertake testing whatsoever.
One final one. Tell us about an announcement expected from Apple about a podcast subscription service.
Yeah, a lot of new products expected to be announced by Apple in the coming hours. They're holding a virtual event for media in the next couple of hours. And amongst the things we're expecting are new Macs and iPads and some other hardware products as well. But what is taking the eye of many people is a potentially a subscription charge for podcasts. So obviously, there are subscription services out there, Apple Music being one of them, which is taking off quite well. But they are probably seeing the fact that Spotify have gotten into the podcasting business, creating their own podcasts, as have Audible, and all of these charge separately. So right now for podcasts with Apple, obviously you do not pay a charge on these. So they are looking at a potential podcast subscription service. Now, the question will this be for premium services? So will these be original podcasts, or will this be a service that will apply to Apple for all podcasts? So the details of that are expected later on. And again, as I said, Spotify have thrown a huge amount of money at this. They've taken over a number of different podcast studios, and it has driven their increase in subscriptions in the last couple of years. And Apple wouldn't be people to miss a trick on getting money out of people. Apple share price, Matt, has doubled in the space of the past year. They had a record quarter for iPhone sales in the run-up to December, so I would imagine any chance to get a few quid in the door, not that they need it really when you look at their profits.
Thank you very much, Ian Guider, columnist with the Business Post.
Today FM's Last Word on Business. With Capital Flow, purchasing, refinancing, or refurbishing an investment property, visit capitalflow.ie.